Greetings again in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, O God, that as you look down on mankind, Lord, you invite us to join you in your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for this great blessing, Lord, how you reach down and pull us out of our predicament. Place our feet on a rock to stay, Lord, and put a song in our hearts. And thank you for this, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. And we continue to invite your presence here this morning, Lord, as we open your word. And we want to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church this day again. In Christ's name, amen. You know, as we look at the word of God, we see many accounts of godly men, godly women. That is worth our time to take a closer look. What had made them truly successful? What had brought success into their lives? One of those men that astounded me again and again as I look at his life is Daniel. That's where we want to take our studies from this morning, the book of Daniel. Daniel, the story of Daniel, it's an old story. Yet it's amazing, it's fascinating. It's a story that appeals to us today. We could look at the time Daniel lived in, the situation he was in, and compare it to today, and we could draw a lot from it. We want to look at that this morning. What made this man Daniel so successful? He lived through the reign of four kings. 4 months ago or so, I went through a list of things from Daniel's life that we find in the first few chapters and that were qualities in his life. And this morning, I want to go back and over the course of time, we're going to take them one by one and look at them, those qualities that we see in Daniel's life. There's many of them. I try to sum them up in five. And this morning, the one we want to look at is a man of purpose. Daniel was a man of purpose. He lived a purpose-driven life, day by day, day by day. Daniel, his name is, the meaning of his name is God is judge, or God is my judge. And this man lived such a life throughout all these reigns of these four kings. Daniel displayed and lived such a life in acknowledging day by day, God is my judge. God is my judge. Nothing is really known of his family. But as we look at the first chapter, we can't help but think or believe that Daniel was of some sort of noble blood. The kings of Judah, it tells us, they did evil in the sight of God. God brought down judgment upon them and the people, allowed Nebuchadnezzar, this is about 600 years before the reign, before Christ came, that this took place. Nebuchadnezzar sent his men down there and he besieged Judah. Took away a couple thousand of them. You look in the Chronicles, you'd find that there were several times he even went down there. He took away some of these men, and among these thousand was Daniel. He was approximately 17 years old. We can't be dogmatic on that, but history seems to bring it across that way, that Daniel was approximately 17 years old. Any 17-year-old person here today? The last time I spoke on Daniel, there was someone. Brother David, little David. You're still 17? 17 and counting, right? Lord bless you. Oh, look at the brother. 17-year-old, taken into captivity, into Babylon, an atheistic, ungodly, paganistic society. This man was taken there. This all happened in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It tells us that this was during the reign of Jehoiakim, if that's saying it right. And this story is fascinating because it reveals to us the possibility of living a life pleasing to God, even when you're away from home, even when all of those things around you had fallen short, and maybe what you were expecting it to be. It's fascinating because it shows us too that this was lived under the old covenant, the Old Testament. We lived under the new. So it makes it all the more possible for us today, isn't it? Now one bit of God died when Daniel died. As I was with Daniel, so shall I be with thee. We still serve the same God today. He hadn't dried up. He hadn't pulled back or got any more, much more busy, so to speak, that He doesn't have time for you, to empower you, to listen to you, to hear your prayers, as He did with Daniel. But the key verse here this morning is verse 8. Start up in verse 1. In the third year, the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure of the house of his God, Nebuchadnezzar. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuch, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily portion of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, sure nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requests of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch, and the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king Nebuchadnezzar, who had appointed you meat and you drink. For why should he see your faces more slim, more worse, more pale than these children, these others, your contemporaries, huh? And yet you endanger me, my head, he said. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And then he went on to say, and see, what you think after that. Well, here we see in Daniel 1:8 here, he said, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. That's an appeal to the old and the young today. Purpose, predetermined to have an aim, a goal, a conviction set in your heart. And we see here with Daniel, you think Daniel just showed up at the king's court and then decided, okay, no, I won't defile myself in this sort or in this way. No, Daniel had a conviction that was predetermined before this. A 17-year-old chap, can you imagine that? So when Daniel hit the crossroad of temptation, the crossroads we find in life of prayer pressure, our contemporaries, they're doing something maybe that makes us feel uneasy. And we're like, should I or should I not? When we meet the crossroads of what the many things that this world has to offer us, oh, there's so many, comes down that pipe. And we're there at that crossroad. We can't be, not sure if I should or I shouldn't. And we got to predetermine. We got to have a purpose before we get to the crossroads. It's too risky. When you get to the crossroads, I'm sure you've been there. You hadn't predetermined. The result was later on you regretted that you did took that road. Because you didn't purpose in your heart before you get there. And there again, we have purpose or convictions on certain things in life, and we do find ourselves sometimes feeling it too. Right? But it's too risky. It's too much of taking a chance. Are you going to show up at the crossroads and you're like, is it right to really watch this kind of thing, or is it not? Or no, make up your mind before. Purpose in your heart. Have conviction. And Daniel, we don't know exactly what he was referring to when he said defile himself with the king's meat, if it was actually something that was forbidden by the dietary law that was given to them before, or if it was, we can't help but maybe think or believe that this food more than likely was in some ritual sacrifice. It's a pretty paganistic society he was in. And Daniel realized, hey, these food are offered to idols and you know, they serve these gods. And his very name, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, changed his name to Belteshazzar, which was a name of one of his gods. One of his pagan god. He had a brainwashing program going on. You change your tongue, I'm going to try and switch off your culture and your belief. And you think any of Daniel changed when this happened? No, he realized God is my judge. God is my judge. Someday I'm going to have to stand before God. Someday I'm going to have to give account to Him. Not you, Ashpenaz, or Belshazzar, or Cyprus, or Darius, or Nebuchadnezzar, or this other fellow here, Melzar. Not you, but God. God is my judge. Do you purpose in your heart that God is your judge? Is that settled in your heart that God is your judge? He's the one that you're going to have to stand before someday to give account to? Well, Daniel did. He purposed in his heart in obeying the commands of God, even the little ones. Now, can you think about it? How would you fare in such a situation like this? Would you have despair and just give in as you met that crossroad as Daniel did? Would you? Daniel sought to obey God, even in the little commands. You got a purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart in obeying the commands of Christ. How would you have fear in such a situation? I sometimes ask myself that. Taken away from home. There's a sense of security that comes from there, right? Taken away from home. Jerusalem, the place of worship. This was there. The Hebrew children, God's people. Can you see here? Everything that you would say that would secure one was falling apart for Daniel. It just was falling apart. Around him. Nothing to hold on to. But you know what? Who he was holding on to? God. He was holding on to God because he purposed in his heart, I'm going to obey him. Daniel hid the word of God in his heart, as Psalms 119 tells us, that he might not sin against him. He did. This was something that was done ahead of time, being proactive. It is so important for us to be proactive as we walk this life. If I face with this situation, I'm going to say no. The next time I'm faced with it, I'm going to say no. Because I realize that this displeases God. This is against His word. This is against His command. And it seems as if though Daniel was the man that was willing to stand up, where was the other thousands that were taken into captivity? We don't hear about them. Perhaps there was a few of them that didn't want to defile themselves with Babylon too. Perhaps. We can't say no, none of them. But as you look at the book of Daniel, you watch it, you see these categories of Christianity today too. Those that are just totally outright compromising left and right. It's okay. Then you have some like Daniel's friend, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They want to stand. They want to have purpose in life. But they need a man like Daniel to stand up so then they could stand beside him. They need a man like Daniel to step out first and then they could do it too. Young people, don't you find this sometimes? I did sometimes. I feel uneasy what we were involved in or what we were doing. You know, we should be. And then all of a sudden when someone said, "No, I don't think we should do this." And I'm like, yeah, that's right. And then I have somebody to follow and kind of get out of the situation. They're like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Or you want to be a Daniel. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Dare to stand and say, "Look, guys, you want to be involved in that, but that seems like that's unscriptural. That's against God's word." And purpose in your heart to stand. You find it at the workplace. Oh, yes. At the workplace. Many times there's the pressure. Oh, we could just slip it under the table and do a deal that, you know, we avoid Caesar. We could avoid paying Caesar his taxes. There's so many of those things out there. And if we do not predetermine a purpose in our heart beforehand, no, I stand before God. God is my judge. I'm going to give account to Him someday. Right? Purpose in your heart. And Daniel was a man like this in obeying the commandments of God, even in the little ones. 17 years old. Man. We go, wow. We come away from a story like this and we say there's no way a man could be like this without having a good godly influence upbringing. There's no way a man could be like this without having good parents that was there to lead him in a godly way day after day. And we would say he wouldn't have just, so to speak, came from the world, which we all are. No, that's not always the situation. A man could have never grown up in a, if I could say, shelter situation. He could come in, get to know Christ, develop convictions because of what he sees in God's Word. And, you know, he has a purpose to live for. The purpose was to please God, to obey Him, to walk in His ways. Daniel had that purpose, right? You and I. The encouragement, the appeal to us is to have such too. He didn't just have it, as I look at it, you know, many times we just kind of have it in our mind. Daniel had it settled in his heart. No. Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most despotic, autocratic, tyrannical ruler of a dynasty, one of the most powerful that planet Earth ever seen. Nebuchadnezzar had it. He had it. A very, very powerful man. When you hear of the kingdoms and how much he ruled. And Daniel even tells us later on in chapter 5, when he was talking to Nebuchadnezzar's son. And then he referred to what kind of dad you had. And when you listen to the kind of man Nebuchadnezzar was, why didn't Daniel just shake and bend in and say, "I was forced, God, I was forced to defile myself with these food offered to idols. Lord, I was away from home." You know? No. Daniel stood. Caught my attention to how this was in the area of food. He was tempted in the area of food. What was the first temptation for Adam and Eve? What area of their life was it?
was through food.
You remember Christ in Matthew 4? Lucifer came along and tempted him. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Well, verse 3 and then 4. Christ responds back to him, to Satan. Was in the area of food. Thou be the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread. Food, Jesus. Esau sold his birthright for what? Food. So it looks so simple, right? We would think, food. I mean, what are you talking about, food? I mean, food? It's beyond the food, right? It's the commands of God I'm getting at. I'm not condemning any food here, right? It's the commands of God, but then the enemy used... The temptation here for Daniel was a subtle one, just in the area of food. That's the point I'm trying to bring across. Simple. It's something you need. Something that is essential for you to live, so you could serve. Right? And Daniel purposed in his heart. Nope. Didn't just have it in his mind. He downloaded it and processed it. It was on his heart. His hard drive right there. No. Why? Because he knew God was his judge. Not Nebuchadnezzar. Not these other men in his courts. And he was willing to stand. One man was willing to stand. It's very important for us to establish it before the temptation. Establish a purpose. Why? I don't want to do that. Does this violate God's command? Yes. Then I don't want to do that. So when I'm faced with it, then I don't do it. By God's grace. Daniel's purpose was to please God. We wait till we get to the crossroads. We could way more easily compromise. But purpose. Purpose is at the beginning. We must purpose in our heart at the beginning, right? And you have purpose. We all have purpose. There's not one single one of you sitting here this morning that doesn't have purpose. But purpose in what? In what? What drives you and takes you day by day is a purpose. It's for some reason. It's for some predetermined reason you want to do what you do. Right? Daily, in your daily living. Now, Daniel's purpose wasn't to get rich or to get a name for himself, prestige. Daniel's purpose wasn't that. His purpose was in seeking the things of God first. As Jesus tells us in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you have such a purpose in your heart? If not, I encourage you, get it downloaded. Have such a purpose that I want to seek the things of God first in my life. Yes, it makes your life successful and truly prosperous. We find that in another chapter here, in Daniel chapter 5, when this Nebuchadnezzar son, he kind of forgot. I can't imagine how he forgot, but we do too. We're the same. Belshazzar, almost the same name like Daniel. Begin to drink from these cups, and then the cups that were taken from Jerusalem, from the temple. He saw this hand on the wall, and he shook. He tells you, he almost shook out of his sockets. Daniel came in, interpret for him. But before Daniel interpret for him, he said, "Look, I'll make you the third in rank in the kingdom. I'll give you gold chains and jewelry, and I'll give you garments and apparel and." The same Babylon offers to us today. I'll give you. Daniel said, no. Give it to someone else. Give it to someone else, he said. I don't need it. Daniel was living for a higher purpose than for the things of this world. His affection, Colossians 3, was on the things above, not on the things of this earth. He said, no, save your gifts for someone else. You watch it throughout the Old Testament, these are prophets. Many times men wanted to give them gifts.
because of the work they were doing for God. This man said, no, keep your gifts. Keep your gifts. Because their heart wasn't after gifts, wasn't after money, the things of this world. And we got to watch out our heart, purpose in our heart, that we will not bow to money. This society we live in here today, this culture right here, geographically, tremendous pressure on taking up the things of this world as priority in life. Can't serve God and mammon. Yeah. We need money to survive. Hey, don't love it. Don't seek to be rich. Desire a wealth. Seek ye first, he said, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? Daniel purpose in his heart. He had these purpose in his heart despite. Even though his identity was changed. Trying to take this man. Can you imagine when you're away from home sometimes, right? I'm sure you're not all that immune to temptation, right? Anybody like that today? When you're away from home, isn't it sometimes there's a harder pressure with the temptation? Nobody's watching. I mean, Daniel could have said, but who would see? Who would see? You know who would see? God. One man suggested, if you ever want to sin, go somewhere that God can't see. That's, if you find that place, go ahead and sin. One man suggested. Well, we know there's no place like that, right? So, when you're away from home, not only when you're away from home, but then you're feeling discouraged, maybe. Discouragement wants to come in. The things you had hoped for in life are falling apart. And it happens to some of us too, you know, church life. Some things you had expect, and you watch it fall apart, and you're like, ah, I thought this was, and it's not. And Daniel watched the Hebrew children being taken away into captivity, separated from their homes, away from mom and dad, away from Jerusalem, the place of worship. You wonder how a 17-year-old chap could survive without being devastated and get disillusioned. You wonder where, what kind of built was he built out of? You know, what kind of material that this man was able to stand? His purpose was of a higher living. His purpose was to please God, to obey Him, to walk in His ways, to glorify Him. You watch it throughout all his life. And Daniel lived throughout the complete 70 years, what the children was in captivity in Babylon. Prosperous man, truly successful. Because purpose was at the beginning. He purposed in his heart, I want to please my Lord. We read in Acts 5. In Acts 5 there is several of these men that they're out preaching and teaching the word of God, right? On fire for the Lord. These priests, they're like, shh. The Sanhedrin, they said, be quiet. Shh. Throw them in prison. Angel came along, released them, and he said, go back and speak God's word. These guys, the next day, they're out there. These Sanhedrins and these men, they're like, weren't they in prison? We just put them in there. He grabbed them again and said, didn't we tell you to zip it? Out of town. Get out of here. You want us to feel guilty about this man Jesus, huh? And these guys are like, what do you think? We can't help but speak these things, right? We ought to obey God rather than man. And they went and spoke for Christ again. They said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Daniel, purpose in his heart, that I am going to obey God rather than my contemporaries. I'm going to obey God rather than my peers. I'm going to obey God rather than man. When man's words comes across what God's will is for you, what He speaks clearly in His Word, Be clear on that. Be purposed in your heart which way you're going to go. Be purposed in your heart which way you're going to go. It's going to decide your fate, your destination, your end. I'm going to please God. I'm going to obey His word. You want to make sure the road that you're on leads to where you're going, right? Have you ever stopped to look on the road that you're on? You believe it's leading to where you want to go? Check it out, right?
It's just amazing. As you look at this man's life, and we could get all about Daniel. But I want you to get all about the man that made Daniel who he was. That's God. He's the same today. He's here to stand with you. Go there and fight your battles alone? No. You're no match for evil. We're no match for evil. Purpose in your heart must be backed up with leaning hard upon Jesus. Abiding in Him. John 15, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ending at verse 5. Said, apart from Me you could do nothing. Zero. We got to lean hard upon Christ to prosper. Lean hard upon Him to be successful in our walk with Him. And just a striking resemblance at Daniel's life. I seen looking at Joseph. Joseph's life, you know, two of these men, they were carried in captivity when they were very young. They were unjustly persecuted. You find Joseph's account in Genesis 37. Taken away in captivity when he was just a young chap, unjustly persecuted. Then you find that they were exalted to rulership. They had the fear of God upon their life, even when they were away from home. Even when they weren't around that place, home, yeah. Home is the word. I was thinking, even when they were away from those that knew them, right? Oh, nobody knows me here, so I could just do what I feel like, right? No purpose in your heart. Both of them lived pure lives, even away from home. Joseph completely ruled Egypt, a type out of world. The world didn't rule him. Babylon didn't rule Daniel. Daniel was in captivity to Nebuchadnezzar, but he was not behind those bars of the world. He ruled it. Joseph, he ruled it. And we know there that one of the more striking story about Joseph in light of this era of purposing and standing was in Genesis 39. Where Potiphar's wife, the officer of Pharaoh, came along. The Egyptian women, they were known for their licentiousness and their beauty. Beautiful woman. He came along. Joseph is away from home. No, none of his peers was even around, like Daniel had a few. She said, come lie with me. You could read between the lines what all that means. Come lie with me. Joseph says, no. Verse 9, Genesis 39:9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against the church? Sin against my mom and dad? Sin against myself? In a sense it was. No, sin against God, he said. Why? He had a purpose in life. Was to please God, walk in His ways. Even, not just when I'm around those people that help encourage me. Some of us have a hard time standing in a place like this where you could find all the encouragements in life. These men were away from brother and sister's encouragements, whether by the life or by words.
he realized his purpose, even being away in Egypt, he was not going to stand behind the bars of that world, that lifestyle, and allow it to rule him. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Don't compromise the Word of God, right? You could compromise your preferences, but never compromise principles. You got that? Godly principle. You could compromise your preferences, but never compromise godly principles. And these men didn't. They knew that someday they're going to have to stand before God. Paul, you read the story of Paul and watch Paul's life and read his letters, and it doesn't take you long to find out this was a man of purpose. Philippians, you read the book of Philippians. And Paul, you read that book and you're like, man, this man was a man of purpose. You sum up Paul's life in a few words. Remember years ago, I said, God, I want this to be my motto in life. To know him and to make him known. As I look at Paul's life, you know, to know him was his purpose, and to make him known. Jesus, our great example, he showed us how to live such a life. The beauty about it is that he just shows us, but he comes to enable us to make this possible. Living a truly purpose-driven life. Brother Jeremy shared this morning, or was asking the question, you know, how you could keep it afresh, how you could keep it, you know, a purpose-driven life. You wake up, Lord, I'm here for a purpose. Can you fulfill your purpose in me this day again? Lord, do not let me clock out from planet Earth until you have accomplished your purpose in me and through me. Lean hard upon him and look to him. You want to serve? Ask him to please serve through me. Don't try and go out there and do it on your own strength, right? Have a purpose. Your purpose is here to glorify God. Your purpose is here to please him. Your purpose here is to seek him and allow him to fill you. Our purpose is for him. And Christ showed us that with his life as he walked here on planet Earth. Amazing way. And only with purpose, as it tells us in Matthew 24 verse 13, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. It's only with purpose you could make it to the end. Huh? Tell me how you could make it without purpose to the end. When you fall, it's like you got no purpose to get back up again. So, in the natural things of life, to complete, to finish, or be successful in it, we have to have purpose, right? Why not all the more in the spiritual things of life? Purpose in your heart. With having utter dependence upon Christ, abiding in him, remember we're no match for evil. And purpose must be backed up with prayer. You can have all the purpose in the world. If you do not humble yourself and realize, I need God's enabling power for me to fulfill that purpose. Allow God to fulfill his purpose through you. In you and through you, it needs to be backed up with prayer. And Daniel was a man of prayer also. That's the next one we want to look at. Man of God is a man of prayer. A man of God is a man of purpose. A man of purpose would be a man of prayer. He's going to pray because he realizes, I can't make it without him. I could have all the purpose I want in this world. Aim high. But all my dependency upon Christ, leaning hard upon him to help me hit the mark, backing it up with prayer, I'm going to miss it. Men could accomplish a lot with their own strength. But in the end, we're going to find out that it's nothing, it tells us. It's going to burn away. All what we accomplish with Christ accomplished in us and through us, purpose in your heart, to allow him to do that. We need to back it up with prayer, day after day.
Daniel was also a man of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, O God, that you give us a purpose to live for. We look at our own lives and we're like, why would we even want to, Lord? But because you call us, you raise us up, and you stand before us, Lord, and we see light ahead because we look at you, Lord. We have a purpose to walk on through life. And just strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen my brothers and sisters here this morning. And God, may we decide, Lord, if we hadn't before, Lord, to truly live a purpose-driven life. God, dare to stand. Dare to stand alone, if it comes to that at times, Lord, in humility before you, oh God, because we want to please you. We truly call you Lord with our lives, Lord, and not just with our lips. I pray this, oh God, so grant us the grace to do so. In Christ's name, amen.